On 88.1 WYPR, this is Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. NPR senior news analyst Cokie Roberts gives us political analysis every Monday on Morning Edition. Cokie is also, as you may know, a best-selling author. Her latest book explores the lives of some very important women in American history. The book is called Ladies of Liberty, The Women Who Shaped Our Nation. From women's perspectives, it details the beginning of the United States, starting with the presidency of John Adams and finishing up with the inauguration of his son, John Quincy Adams. Cokie joins us now to talk about the book. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Nathan. It's nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you as well. So, late 1700s, early 1800s were not an easy time for women, or really for anyone in the country, but especially women. Women couldn't vote, married women couldn't own property, but women were absolutely pivotal in politics.
Absolutely. It's so interesting to read their letters and see how deeply, deeply political they were. And as you say, Nathan, they were pivotal because the men were at each other's throats. They were literally killing each other over politics, fighting duels over political speech. And the partisanship was fierce. The regionalism was rabid. And it took the women to make the men come sit down, have a glass of Madeira, and behave. And they were crucial to the coherence of the country.
Now, this book is written from primary sources, which include hundreds of handwritten letters, either by or to the women of the era. What was it like working with all of these old letters?
Well, it was thrilling in one way to actually be looking at the handwriting of Abigail Adams or Louisa Catherine Adams or the writing of James Monroe to Abigail Adams or James Madison to Abigail Adams, because, of course, she kept writing to these men, sort of interfering in her son's life. But in another way, of course, it was very difficult. Most of the letters that I read were Xeroxed copies of 18th century handwriting, and that can be very slow going.
Now, Dolly Madison was, in a way, the first lady for four presidential terms because Jefferson did not have a wife. She served many of the functions that would then become first lady functions.
That's right. She was really the reigning presence in Washington from the beginning of Jefferson's administration in 1801 through the end of Madison in 1817. And then she came back after Madison died to Washington and was such an overarching presence in the city that Daniel Webster later in the century said, Dolly Madison is the only permanent power in Washington. The rest of us are all transitory.
And she herself was credited for her husband's winning both of his terms of office.
It's true. It's true. The first time he ran, even though Jefferson had been very popular because of the Louisiana Purchase, the president and the Congress had imposed an embargo on shipping to try to deal with the interference with U.S. shipping by Britain and France. And it was wildly unpopular. Farmers couldn't ship their produce. Shop owners couldn't import what they needed. And everybody hated the embargo, and Madison was the embodiment of it. But his Federalist opponent, Charles Cotesworth Pinckney, said, I ran against Mr. and Mrs. Madison. Had I just run against Mr. Madison, I might have won. And similarly, when he ran the second time, it was the War of 1812 had been declared, very, very unpopular war. Later in the century, James G. Blaine wrote, had it not been for Mrs. Madison, DeWitt Clinton would have been elected president in 1812. Mrs. Madison saved her husband's presidency.
That's Cokie Roberts, NPR senior news analyst and author of the book Ladies of Liberty, which we are talking about here on Maryland Morning with Sheila Cast. I'm Nathan Sterner. Another important woman in Maryland at the time was Elizabeth Seton, who became the first American-born saint. Tell us about her.
Well, she was a fascinating woman. She was wealthy, married William Seton, a wealthy man, and she then lost everything. His business went under. His health deteriorated. And so they went to Italy. She had five little children. They went to Italy to try to restore his health. He died there. And she had some sort of epiphany in a church in Italy and came back to America and became a Catholic. And the anti-Catholicism was such that she was really unable to make a living because people would not send their children to her school because she was Catholic. So she gratefully accepted the offer to come open a school in Baltimore because, of course, Maryland had been founded as a Catholic colony. And she started a girls' school on Packer Street and then was induced to move out to Emmitsburg in a covered wagon and set up a free school there for girls, St. Joseph's, and then St. Joseph's Academy, a boarding school for wealthy girls that would pay for the free school. She then entered the convent, although she formed her own convent, and worked with Bishop Carroll on what the rules would be since she was a mother. As she said, I'm a mother first. That is my first obligation. Other women joined her, and of course, we all know that Emmitsburg then became the site of her mother house and now the Seton Shrine. But, you know, I always joke, Nathan, that you read in the history books, and she founded the parochial school system in America as if it was just lickety-split and just that easy. And, of course, it was with an enormous struggle and a great deal of politicking that she did such a thing.
When you read most of the history books today, it is mostly about men. But as this book shows, women were really crucial to every aspect of history at this time. How long do you think it's going to take before women are included in the history books that we have?
It will take until people stop defining history as battles and documents. There was a lot else going on. And one of the things that's interesting is that there have been a lot of books written about the everyday women of this period, books like A Midwife's Tale and others. But what got left out as historians moved from writing about the great men and the great events was the great women's role in the lives of the great men and their great events.
That's NPR senior news analyst Cokie Roberts. Her newest book is Ladies of Liberty, Women Who Shaped Our Nation. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Nathan. Nice to be with you.
You will find more information about Cokie's books and a link to an interview she did with Morning Edition's Renee Montaigne on our website, marylandmorning.org. For 88.1 WYPR, I'm Nathan Sterner.